This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in and we trust the program will be a help and a blessing to you. If you would like to contact me, you can do so either through my website or by regular mail. My website will have this program on it. It will also have a weekly meditation that you can read on it. And there's other information that you may find helpful there. And you can email me through it. So if you would like to contact me or would like the information that's on my website, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. I'll give them to you at the close of the program. Now today we want to begin reading from Luke chapter 22. And we're going to be reading about the Last Supper, which is established at the last Passover that the Lord eats with his disciples. So Luke 22 and verse 7 says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat.' So they said to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare?' And he said to them, 'Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, "The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready." So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, we left off last time with Judas being willing to sell the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. The question is, was Judas really there with them in the upper room when they established the Lord's Supper, the ordinance that the church still continues to keep until the Lord comes? This was a new thing that we're looking at. The Passover was the Old Testament remembrance of a deliverance from Egypt, which spoke of the New Testament deliverance from the bondage of the sin of this world. The Passover lamb is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for us at the cross of Calvary. When the Lord says that he has come to fulfill the Old Testament law, here's a picture of that. We can see that the Passover lamb was a reminder to them of their deliverance from Egypt, but it was a picture to them of what the Lord would do when he went to the cross of Calvary. And so we do not remember a Passover lamb today. We remember the Lord. He says, "This do in remembrance of me." And so we do that in remembrance of the Lord. And so when I look at this passage, I look at Judas, who has betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, and I know that there are those who seem to think that because of the way the other Gospels deal with this Last Supper, that Judas had left before the Last Supper was instituted, that he was there for all of the Passover, but not for the institution of the Lord's Supper. I'm not absolutely convinced of that. The Lord says, "The hand of my betrayer is with me on the table," and I think that Judas may very well have still been there when the Lord institutes this new thing that we enjoy today. But when I say that he was there, what I'm thinking is, are there people who come into our churches and break bread with us who are just like Judas, just simply using the religious environment, the congregation of the Christians, to advance their own agendas, sometimes political agendas, sometimes economic agendas. Sometimes it's the agenda of just wanting to be a leader who is respected. Are we advancing our own agendas, or do we really understand that we're there for the Lord? I look at this upper room as a picture of a church, and I look at the breaking of bread as one of the main functions of a church. And you'll notice that the disciples, John and Peter, were told how to find this place. Many times we preach the gospel to people, and then we say, go to the church of your choice. And I always kind of cringe when we say that, because the gospel is not the gospel of our choice. There's only one way to heaven, and it's through Christ. And it doesn't seem right that that would be the only way to heaven. And God tells us that his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. And so if salvation requires us to submit ourselves to what God says, rather than to what we want to believe, then when it comes to worshiping the Lord, wouldn't it be true that probably the church that pleases the Lord is not necessarily the church that we would design? I'm not going to say it's not the church that we would enjoy, because I think if we're saved and we find out that the Lord enjoys a particular way of worship, that we'll enjoy it too. But if we are left to our own to design a church which we want to be big and to flourish and to grow, I think it's very possible that we'll design something that doesn't please the Lord at all. And so in this passage, we have the disciples being told to follow a man bearing a pitcher of water to an upper room that has already been prepared. The Lord prepares a place for us to worship him. I'm convinced of that. And he wants us to follow an unnamed servant. And an unnamed servant is a picture of the Holy Spirit. He's bearing a pitcher of water. Normally, it would be women who would be bearing that pitcher of water. But this is a man who's bearing a pitcher of water. And the pitcher of water would speak to me, at least, of the Word of God. And so I think that we are following a man who is bearing the living Word of God and guiding Peter and John to a place where the Lord wants them. And I think that's the way we should find our places of worship today. We should follow the guidance of the Lord to a place that isn't necessarily the place of our choosing, but it's a place of the Lord's choosing. And we'll be happy there, because we'll enjoy the presence of the Lord there. Now, as I said, we have this Passover supper that had been, or this Passover lamb that had been slain 1,500 years before, and the children of Israel were to remember the deliverance from Egypt every year. They didn't do that, just as we are to often remember the Lord through the breaking of the bread. And many of us have kind of put that on the back burner, thinking that that isn't really all that important. And we say, well, if we do it too often, it becomes old and it becomes ritualistic. But, you know, if it's what the Lord wants us to do, I don't think it can become old, and I don't think it can become ritualistic. And it is something that we can do that the Lord has asked us to do that we know pleases the Lord. I've heard older preachers say that when they were preaching the gospel, they knew that they should preach the gospel, but they didn't always know where, and they didn't always know for how long. But they said, when I go to the Lord's table and break bread with Christians who love the Lord, I always know I'm in the will of the Lord there. And so it is important that we do follow the Lord's instructions and worship him as he asks us to. And I believe it's a people who are truly worshiping the Lord that are the people that are truly serving the Lord, particularly when it comes to reflecting the love of the Lord to a fallen world that needs his love and needs his salvation. Now, when we look at this passage, the Lord then establishes a new feast at the end of the Passover feast. He establishes a new covenant The new covenant is now associated with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. It's seen in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's our covenant today. And so we have this new feast. We have this new covenant. We have a new people, because in the Old Testament we have Jews who are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and now we have children of God by faith. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so we are doing something new, and in doing something new, we take a loaf of bread. And there are those who think that when we take the loaf of bread, it actually becomes the body of the Lord. And without going into the passage in John 6 that seems to be somewhat troublesome on this, which is not troublesome to me, but troublesome to some, I believe as you look at this passage, it's quite clear when the Lord says, "This is my body, which is given for you." He's there in a body, and he still takes the bread and says, "This is my body, which is given for you." He didn't have two bodies. And so this is what we call a metaphor. It's like saying that man's a lion. Well, he's not a lion. He's lion-like. The characteristics of a lion are found in him. Or we might call a car a cougar because of how much power it has. But the car is a car. These are metaphors, ways of speaking that help us understand the characteristics of a person. So this is my body, which is given for you. This is a memorial of my body. It's a representative of my body, which is given for you. And folks, I want you to understand that neither the bread nor the cup in any way help save us. Salvation is always by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. And those who are saved by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, they want to worship him. And so this is one of the ways they can worship him, by taking a loaf of bread and a cup of wine in connection with other believers and holding a supper, a feast, where they commemorate or memorialize or remember the Lord until he comes. But folks, baptism never saved, and the Lord's Supper never saved. Only faith in the Lord Jesus saves. And I hope that you understand that. This is such a beautiful picture of being guided to a place, I would call it a local church, where we can worship the Lord, and where the worship of the Lord is because we are saved. It's not designed in any way to save us. And folks, I hope that you enjoy the blessing of God's salvation, and that you are enjoying the blessing of being guided to a place where you can worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy salvation. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the Holy Spirit. We just give thanks for all that thou hast blessed us with in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.